Blog Talk Radio.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope I bring you glory on this one, Father. Help me now.
Simmons coming to you with the Woman to Woman show. I tell you, I'm excited. It's Christmas. It is Christmas, and I'm just so excited. I'm just really expecting great things during this holiday season. I'm excited because Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We're celebrating the birth of Christ, and we are, you know, just remembering him during this season, knowing that God truly is good. He truly is good. And, you know, there's nothing else that I can say other than the fact that God is good. And I'm just so excited to be in the kingdom of God during this season. Just really excited to be called a Christian. Amen. Well, today we're opening up the phone lines. We're basically going to be doing some Christmas shout outs, just celebrating with each other. I want to first take this time to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody listening. Merry Christmas to everyone who is listening via the archives. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. My husband, Pastor Anthony, and I truly do wish you a Merry Christmas. We are just, you know, just so blessed to have met all of you over the course of time and through the years. We're so blessed to know all of you, to have you in our lives. We're so blessed. Just so blessed to be connected to you, and we really, really appreciate you. Pastor Anthony will be calling in later to tell you himself Merry Christmas. And also, he does have marriage moments, even though it is Christmas. I'm sure he has some words, maybe not formal, but informally, that he can speak into our marriages, because we know marriage is a wonderful thing ordained by God. So I'm just here. I don't have anything deep today, so the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832, and you can begin to call in and say Merry Christmas. You could do your Christmas shout-outs. You can give a praise report. It's the end of the year. How good has God been to you this year? I know he's been real good to me. So many people are talking about how tough the year has been, and it's been a tough year. A lot of people are complaining, but I'm praising God. Greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that is in the world. And he also says that there is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. So you have to know that God truly, truly has your back. And, you know, I love what the Lord says when he says that he'll never put any more on you than you can handle. And just when you think you had enough, God always, always provides a way out. So know that God is good. He is good, and he's better than that. He is worthy. He is awesome. He's magnificent. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's father. My God. He's savior. Oh, our God is so awesome. He's just so awesome. And what more could I do than the day before Christmas to just dedicate this broadcast to Jesus, to dedicate this broadcast to Jesus, just because of who he is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Master, my God. The government rests on his shoulders. I tell you, he is sovereign. He is, I tell you, just healer, deliverer. Oh, so many wonderful things I could say about Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and his anointing. Christ the Savior is born. Hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. And I just get excited just talking about Jesus. So I'm here, and you can call in 646-652-4832 to talk to me and to shout out your Christmas shout outs. So many people are shopping today. I want to say hello to guest 1892 in the chat room. God bless you and welcome to Woman Show. So many people are shopping today, and I'm done. I finished up my shopping. I actually didn't do a whole bunch of shopping, just shop for the children, and also did some shopping just for the children, actually. Wow. Wow, how's that? I just did some shopping for the children. And getting ready to go. We're heading down to Florida on tomorrow. So after service, we will be having church tomorrow, and I invite you all to come out and worship with us at the 11 o'clock hour at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. So we will be having a Christmas service. I tell you, that is just awesome to be able to go and praise God in the house of the Lord on what we celebrate as the birthday of Jesus. Even the world, this is so magnificent, because even the world is celebrating tomorrow as the birthday of Jesus. You know, they are not knowledgeable to the full extent of what the day entails and what it's all about, but it is Christmas. a Mass for Christ. Amen. It is a day, a time to celebrate Christ. And so many people are saying happy holidays, and they're taking people are saying they're taking Christ out of Christmas, and they're putting the X there, saying Xmas. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he can't be canceled out. Just like the grave couldn't hold him, it doesn't matter what people do. You know, the fact that there are so many of us out there, Christians, there are so many Christians in the world who are
according to what the Lord wants to do. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. It is an awesome time. Hallelujah. That Jesus. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, Jesus. And I'm just saying hello. I'm working on a little technical difficulties. Hello to our listening audience. As my wife opened the show, thanking you guys for tuning in on a regular basis. God is good, and he is to be glorified in the name of Jesus. So on this weekend, as we celebrate Jesus, knowing that he has all power, authority, and might, we recognize he came, hallelujah, to bring peace on earth. So I thank God for the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and it's just an awesome time to be on the Lord's side. So we celebrate Jesus as we celebrate you today, knowing that you are in the vineyard of God, doing the work of Almighty God, impacting the people and the environments that you partake of. So continue to allow God to use you in a mighty way. Pastor Rebecca taught us on Wednesday at our midweek Bible study, giving God the glory. We are to give God glory in all that we do. He taught, as Timothy was encouraged by the Apostle Paul, to walk in love and to walk by faith and to edify yourself in the Spirit and remain, hallelujah, on fire for the things of God. An epistle not written by ink, but placed the heart of God placed on man's heart to do his will. So it's an awesome time to be again on the Lord's side, and we thank God for you today. Just thank God for this Christmas weekend. We are excited. We're going to Florida for a family vacation. We're going to visit our mother-in-law. Just purchased a home and outside of Orlando. She's elated and happy just to be in that new environment down there in sunny Florida, and we're excited to leave New Jersey to travel, hallelujah, during this Christmas season. And we're getting ready to pray in the new year, begin our 21-day consecration. We just excited. I don't believe in resolutions, but I do believe that God takes us from glory to glory. So as we continue to seek God, not his hand, but his face, watch what God continues to do in our lives. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. So we are, again, excited. Hallelujah. We are so excited today. Just the opportunity and just a privilege of coming to you on a weekly basis, hallelujah, doing my little part on the marriage and family enrichment moment, I just thank God he gives me the opportunity to pour into families, to pour into marriages, to just speak the word of the Lord, which has all power and authority. It is the word that can change your life dramatically. So I thank God for his word. Thank God for his wisdom, and thank God for his discernment and insight. Hallelujah. Pastor Rebecca, she will be back shortly. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We're going to do the marriage moment in a moment. Something God has placed in my spirit. Come in. On my heart. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. God is an awesome God. I just love him on today. He is worthy of all praise, worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. God is the great, I'm going to talk about a little bit about that on tomorrow, but God is the greatest gift given unto man. It is up to us to receive him in all that he wants to do in and through our lives. Hallelujah. Giving us his son, Jesus Christ, as a gift.
God is great. I'm going to talk about this with about tomorrow, but God is great.
Pastor Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, I had to call back in. God bless you. Okay, go ahead, sir. Honey.
Amen. I was just sharing some, you know, some of my heart with the people of God today that, you know, it's just an awesome thing to be on the Lord's side. So many are going through so much, but sometimes God just humbles you where you just talk in a sort of a monotone. You don't have to get excited. You don't have to raise your voice. Just receive, you know, the love of God. In this season, it is a humbling experience to know that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him shall never perish. So the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What greater gift can you and I have today than eternal life? So I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for just being God. Hallelujah. Because he is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. So I'm just, again, as I was saying earlier, I'm just thankful to be a part of your broadcast on a weekly basis. I try to just do what the Lord has placed in my heart concerning marriages and families. So many families are under just a warfare that they've never known before. And the devil operates in division. So he's trying to divide and conquer. So I just thank God for the moments that, you know, you allow me to speak whatever God places on my heart.
Amen, honey. Well, I'm always glad to have you. You know, I'm just excited about your, you know, being a part of the Women to Women broadcast because we have to, as women, we're married. You know, we have husbands as women, and we have to basically also pour into marriages, you know, and what better way than to have my husband come in and to pour, begin to pour into the marriages that are represented here as a part of the listenership. So, and I thank God for Kathy Jones, who, my God, I believe it was back in March, she mentioned to me that she loved it when you did drop in and do something about marriage. But she said she wanted, she would like to see us do something on marriage. And I jumped right on that suggestion, and then here we have the marriage moment, you know. So I just give, you know, God the glory for my friend, Kathy Jones, you know, who requested, you know, that we do something on marriage. And I just thank God that it's just so popular and that we're pouring into thousands of marriages. It's just awesome. So I believe you do have a marriage moment. We're going to let some of the people begin to call in because I want people to give their shout-outs
and, you know, just basically so we can show some appreciation to some of our listeners also. So you mentioned that you did have a marriage moment today, so I just want to open up the floor, honey, for you to go ahead and do that.
Hey, amen. I just want to share this very briefly, coming from the book of Proverbs, 3 verses, Proverbs 18, verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 17. Hallelujah. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him or her unto the presence of the great. Finally, the first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him or her. That first verse, I just want to highlight, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. I just want to say to the people of God, understand the days in which you are living in. As marriage, as couples, as husband and wives, we cannot be ignorant or naive or just being blinded to some of the strategies of the enemy in this day. It is not a coincidence and it's not just circumstance how 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. There's a real spiritual enemy that's trying to come against your home and your marriage. So we got to be ever mindful that the devil will use people, he'll use circumstances, he'll use our past, he'll use our finances, our health, anything to try to come and be a hindrance to that marriage. So we have to be so discerning. The Bible says, let the discerning, let those who want discernment get knowledge. That's why Pastor Rebecca and I always emphasize, find yourself in a good church. Sit under a sound doctrine. Find yourself theologically sound in doctrine, because it is the word of God that Jesus fought himself with in the wilderness, and the word is how he prevailed. So you must let this word come into your ear gate, you know, into your eye gate, come out of your mouth, and that's the only way we're going to get the victory in our marriages. You know, even our strong marriages, we have to maintain and get even stronger, because the enemy is really coming after those of us who really are sound and trying to rescue the institution of marriage. Secondly, that second scripture, it is so powerful. It says, a gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. Give gifts to one another, not just on Christmas, and not just monetary or natural gifts. Little notes and cooking for one another and ironing each other's clothes and washing for one another and back massages and neck massages and just little tokens of love toward one another. That goes such a long way. Where the world is in a recession, not the kingdom, but people are going through so much in this hour. And as you give to one another, husband, give to your wife, giving her affection, giving her attention, giving her affirmation. As you love on that woman and just give her yourself, there's a song, God, I Give Myself Away. As you give to your wife, watch how she's strengthened and watch how that is reciprocated back into your life. Giving one to another, even sometimes, yeah, going to the mall or bringing some flowers home from the mall or a card every now and again, just giving to one another. And as you cook that man a great meal, as you try to make him feel welcome, even sometimes watching the game, you know, going out and getting his favorite peanuts and soda or whatever the thing is, making him comfortable, that's a gift. You know, I know for one, I work hard, and sometimes I watch the game, and my wife, she just gave me a little massage the other day, and oh, man, it just made me feel like new money. So if we give to one another, our marriages are strengthened. And finally, and I want to talk about this last verse, which is so powerful. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. I know my wife and I have strong personalities. We're strongly opinionated people. We pretty much have some things that we strongly believe in. But one thing that's been a blessing to our marriage is sometimes we do challenge one another. We iron sharpens iron. We dialogue and we talk about the issues of our day, whether it's social issues or politics or even sometimes reality TV. We find ourselves discussing things and bouncing ideas off of one another and encouraging one another. As many of you know, my wife is an author, and she has the gift of writing. And sometimes I have asked her, you know, over the years about certain things she has written in her books, and it stimulated my mind, and it got me to think about things. And her latest book, Don't Die in the Wilderness, it's still, as we close out this year, honey, I think you released that book in January. Close out this year, there's still some things in that book that kept me all year long. You know, how God has a purpose. There's a purpose for your pain. And there's so much that you wrote in that book along with the other books. And sometimes I question you about it, or I'll go back to one of those things that God placed in your heart in that moment that probably will outlive the both of us. So husband, wife, challenge one another and sharpen one another and encourage one another. You know, I just want to say, ladies, because a lot of women are listening, speak into that brother's life. Speak into that man's life. God knows many of us are trying to be the provider. We're trying to be the protector. We're trying to be the priest. And many of us are falling short. A lot of men are falling short. That's a fact. But when you speak into that man's life and encourage him, that get him over so many mountains and so many hills and so many walls that's trying to keep us men bound. The spirit of Herod and the spirit of Pharaoh is still alive trying to destroy men. So women of God, when you speak into that man's life, you'll be amazed at what that do to us and what that do for us. So iron sharpen irons, and it says the first to present an argument is challenged by the other one. And then that's how our marriage is also going to be strengthened. So that's all I have for you today. I just want to wish you couples a Merry Christmas. Enjoy one another as you open gifts and read the Bible story and look at the Christmas tree or watch movies. And I think we all got Monday off of work. So just enjoy your holiday season in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love that scripture. The first to present an argument is challenged by another, by the other.
Yes, it says the first. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says the first to present his case seems right. And honey, you know, sometimes early on in our marriage, I used to always defend myself. I would rush right into it. Listen, I'm right and you're wrong. Till another comes forward and questions him. Some people, Pastor Becker, just don't like to be challenged to question. And that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, that is the truth, because even in those early years of our marriage, you know, it was so funny because when you got ready to talk, I was like, I don't want to hear it. I couldn't handle the truth. When you got ready to tell me your truth, I didn't want to hear it. Well, we have a hand raised, Pastor FB. Let's take this call.
Join Integral International now and get 2 years.
Okay. I don't think they meant to raise their hand. Okay. That was sounds like somebody made a mistake and raised their hand. But that was the truth, that we did not, when we were arguing in the early years of our marriage, and you got ready to tell me what I was doing wrong, I didn't want to hear it. I was like, oh, no. It was like almost like, wah, wah, wah. I wanted to hold my ears and just begin to shout you down. And I almost did. And I know I did shout you down on quite a few occasions because I didn't want to hear the truth about myself, about my own self. So I was so quick to tell you what was wrong with you, but I didn't want to hear what was wrong with me. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost began to convict me and let me know what was wrong with me, that I was wrong and that I was wrong as well as you may have been wrong. We were both wrong, and we both needed
Jesus, and we both needed to be corrected, and we both needed to be changed. But it's so funny, honey, because I remember in those early years, I used to be like, God, please fix him, you know, change him, just praying for God to fix you and to change you. And I was so unhappy, you know, and God really began to deal with me to let me know that you were not the reason for my unhappiness. Just because you were happy and I wanted you to be miserable like me and you wouldn't be miserable, which made me even more unhappy, that was not your problem, but that was my problem. And I had to begin to deal with my own issues. You know, we talked about dealing with our issues for 2 weeks in a row, and it was very hot, you know, very popular because everybody has issues. I had to begin to deal with my issues. I had to deal with the fact that I had been molested, that I had been abandoned, that I had been rejected, that I had been neglected, that I had been disappointed, that I was frustrated, and that I was hurting. I had to deal with that. I had to deal with that, and I thought that you were going to fix me. When I married you, I thought you were supposed to make things right, that you were supposed to fix me, honey, and you were falling short. You were not doing your job. So I was complaining to God about you, and God began to deal with me and said, no, let me fix you. You touch the hem of my garment. Let me make you whole, and I'll deal with him. So I had to change. And that's what I want to say to a lot of the women out there. You may be married, you may not be married, but you may find yourself frustrated because of some of the things that have happened to you in your past. And I just want to say to you that, you know, so often we're out trying to, we're striking out at things outside of ourselves and people outside of ourselves, and we're trying to fix the problem from the outside in. And God is saying he wants to fix the problem from the inside out. It's just like when you go and you look at the mirror, women, and you're looking in the mirror and you see your hair out of place. You might see your makeup is a little bit smudged. You might see lipstick on your teeth. You're not going to go to the mirror and begin to brush the mirror. You're not going to begin to wipe the makeup off of the face that you see in the mirror. And you're not going to begin to try to get the lipstick off your teeth by rubbing the mirror. You're going to have to deal with that by dealing with your face, dealing with yourself directly. And that's what God is saying about our issues, even and especially in marriage. We're looking at our husbands. We're looking at people outside of ourselves. We're looking at our jobs. We're looking at situations outside of ourselves. And God is saying, I want to change you. I want to change you from the inside out. Why don't you let me do some work on you? And that's powerful, honey. That just opened up a whole other conversation. Thank you so much. That's powerful.
Amen. And you know, the enemy, he's so cunning. Pastor Becker, the same person that we fell in love with, the same person we want to live our lives with. Sometimes, you know, couples get to the place, you know, where they don't understand the real enemy is trying to work through one another. And sometimes you can despise your husband, you can despise your wife, and something just goes off in you, even sometimes at the sight of each other. And that is nothing but the enemy. We're supposed to love on each other. We're supposed to be there for one another. And when it gets to the place where, you know, there's hostility and there's strife, we got to do some of what we just talked about. As you said, iron sharpen iron, put stuff out, you know, allow the other person to speak their mind and to share what's on their heart. Again, if you would have kept shutting me out, if you wouldn't have changed over the years, we wouldn't have probably had a 15-year, over 15 years of being married. Because how many men, how many women can take that, they just stuck in their ways? I've heard that term, but how many people really can live with a person like that who say they love you but refuse to allow themselves to change for the betterment of that marriage? So if nobody can get through, there was only one perfect being, and we're celebrating him this weekend. So the rest of us are flawed. The rest of us have not arrived. The rest of us, as you talked about, have issues. So I believe the helpmeet that's talked about in Genesis, the wife, yes, is to help the husband, but I think that works both ways. That man of God is placed into your life, women of God, to help you even get through some of those issues that try to keep you bound, to help you understand even sometimes your own family and to be there, to be the shoulder to cry on. We are submitting one to another and we are supposed to be there one for another. So as the enemy tries to come in like a flood, God raises up the standard. And honey, I'm just so glad that the tough times that we got through, those hard conversations and those uneasy talks and even, like you said, those arguments helped
yeah.
to strengthen us. Those storms
yeah.
helped to make you better. So I just thank God for the Proverbs, you know, written by mostly King Solomon, and it's just so much wisdom in these three verses.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Proverbs. I was just thinking about Proverbs 31, where the Bible says her children shall rise up and call her blessed. I was just thinking about that. Oh, God bless you. Praise the Lord. I want to say hello to everybody on the phone lines. The phone lines are lit up, Pastor Anthony, and the chat room. I want to say hello to Pastor Larry Sarton in the chat room and also to Reverend Doris Darcy in the chat room. God bless you. And to our guest, guest 12059, God bless you. And Merry Christmas. I want to say hello to Kathy and Ray Jones. I want to say hello to hallelujah to Sister Tina Lane, Erica, God bless you, and to everyone who's called in and everyone who is on the phone lines, God bless you. Some of your numbers I do not recognize, but I say hello to you. Listen, for those of you who are holding, if you want to be on the air, just press 1. This is a call-in show. We're talking, Pastor Anthony, and Pastor Anthony and I are doing what we do best. We're talking. Amen. We're doing this. We do this all of the time. We sit on the couch and we have these in-depth conversations. So don't mind us. You know, if you want to be on the air, just press 1. That will raise your hand. That will let me know that you want to be on the air with us, and we will put you on the air. So we definitely want to give you an opportunity to do those Christmas shout-outs if you want to make a comment, if you want to just say hi to us. Doesn't have to be deep. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, please do call into 646-652-4832. But Pastor Anthony, as I was saying, I was thinking about the Proverbs 31 woman where the Bible says her children shall rise up and call her blessed, you know, and it's just so awesome. I was talking to a brother. I went down to Merrill Lynch. Well, it was now Bank of America, but many people know that I worked for Merrill Lynch for 18 years. And I got a call on Monday from one of my former colleagues, and she informed me that they were having a retirement reception for one of the brokers, one of the stockbrokers, one of the financial advisors, and she wanted to know if I would be able to come because we were friendly when I was in the Newark office. He was actually very, very, the Lord used him greatly even before I got saved to help me. And some of the things that I was doing. I'll tell that story a little bit later. But she told me that Ken was going to go back to Nigeria and that they were having a reception for him downtown. So I picked up a sister that I used to work with, and I went on down to the reception on Thursday. Ken came over to me towards the end of the reception, and he said, "So how's Anthony?" And I said, "Oh, he's well." And now Ken, let me just give you a little background on Ken. Ken has 7 children, and he began to tell me about his 7 children, 5 different women. So he has 7 children by 5 different women. And why I lost close connection with Ken was because every time I saw him, he was bragging on another woman having another baby. And, you know, I just didn't want to just, I was trying to work on myself, if that makes any sense, and I got busy with the church, so I kind of lost touch with him. Now, Ken, I believe, is Catholic, so, but when I first met Ken, he had like 25 different women, he would number his women. This is number 1, this is number 15, this is number 12, this is woman number 20. You know, he just had all of these women, and he would number his women. So Ken came over to me on this particular evening, on Thursday evening. He said, "So how's Anthony?" And I said, "Anthony's well." And he had already shown me his kids, had already told me about the 5 different women that he had, his 7 different kids by 3 girls and 4 boys. Kansas chief. He's an Igbo chief over in Nigeria, so he's going back to Nigeria. So he said, how's family? I said, he's well. He said, this is what he said to me. This is profound. He said to me, you made a good move with that one. And I was like, I felt God. When he said that, I felt God. He said, you made a good move with that one. He said, most women would not have known to make that move. He said, but you made a good move with him, with my brother. And I was like, wow, yeah, thank you. I said, he is a good brother. He said, yeah. He said, I know. And he looked me right in the eye, and he was like, yeah, I know. Now, this is a man that some would consider to be a dog or, you know, whatever, a womanizer, a whoremonger, you know. But this man was looking on my marriage with my husband and giving all due respect to my husband, you know, saying, you know what, that's a good man. Now, mind you, Ken was the one who pulled me into his office one day when I had went out for lunch. One of his clients was coming in from Nigeria, and I went out and bought a real short skirt. I had to put on the sexiest, hottest outfit because, you know, this guy was rich. He was Nigerian, and I was looking for a husband. So I went out and bought the shortest skirt I could find. I would work downtown to work, bought a nice, tight bodysuit. You know, I didn't have any this extra weight that I have on my body now, but I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I went out and bought this outfit, went into the ladies' room and changed and put on this outfit. Ken pulled me into his office and said, what are you doing? He said, you look very nice this morning. He said, why did you put on these clothes? He said, you're a beautiful woman. You don't have to dress like this. He said, when men look at you in this outfit, they're only going to think about one thing. He said, now go and put back on your other clothes. And I'll never forget that, you know. And I went back, you know, got my little bag and went in the back and put on my other clothes that I had on that morning. And that really made a difference for me because that was the second time that Ken talked to me about my clothes. The first time he told me I couldn't wear jeans in corporate America. I'm in Maryland. I had on a blue jean skirt, a nice, beautiful silk blouse. And he was like, You can't wear jeans in corporate America. You're trying to go somewhere, right? You want to go to the top, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I thought I looked very nice, so I was indignant. But this is what I'm saying. This is a brother who has been like a big brother to me, but he's always been a womanizer. But he looked at our marriage, honey, and he respects our marriage. He respects you as a man of God. And he respects me for the woman that I am today. As a matter of fact, he helped shape me to be that woman. And he gave, and God is getting the glory. God is getting the glory. So these marriage moments, these things that we're talking about, the marriage that we have before the Lord, God is getting the glory. You know, it works. If you work God's word will work for you. Amen. And Pastor Larry said, he's laughing in the chat room, and he said, thank God for Ken.
Hey, man, you know, a lot of people, it's amazing how you can get on here and tell some of our journey. But it was so powerful. Like you said, he was one of the biggest producers in your office for decades, and he did his vocation well. But it's just so amazing how even back then, we set up under a good word, a good church. We were part of the marriage and life enrichment ministry, and we went on retreats, and we got books, and we read, and we watched other marriages, godly marriages. And so much was done in those formative years. So it's amazing how Ken is one of those ones that knew me when we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
He's kind of seen the entire journey of almost 18 years, and it's amazing how only God's getting the glory because he know that you, even working at Merrill Lynch, was a woman of integrity, a woman of God.
Well, even though Ken knew me when I was a little hoochie mama. You know, that's what, you know, that's what I'm saying. He knew me when I was just, like, lost, you know, before Jesus came into my life. Remember, I started working at Merrill Lynch in 1984, and I didn't get saved until 1994. So he knew me for those 10 years before I got saved. And even though I was a wild child, you know, he saw something in me. It's amazing. That's what I want to say to you ladies out there today. God has already put something on the inside of you. See, when he knit you together in your mother's womb, he already put his DNA on the inside of you. He already put your purpose on the inside of you. He put destiny and victory on the inside of you. He put holiness on the inside of you. You know, God already put the plan for the fruition, for the manifestation on the inside of you. He knows the way that you take. This is what I'm saying to some women out there that listen to me, and, you know, you might be a little hoochie right now, you know, like I was. You know, you might be a little hot to trot, you know, on the dance floor, shaking that thing. Whatever it is you're doing, know that God already has the plan. See, you were born with the plan. And all we have to do now is wait for the manifestation. But we have to line up with the word of God in order for the manifestation to come forth. It has to come forth, you know. I mean, this man could have been woman number 26. You see what I'm saying? He could have saw me and said, you know what, I'm going to make a part of my stable. But he didn't. He said, there's something different about her. So, Pastor Larry's, God bless you, Pastor Larry. He said he's logging now. God bless you. What kind of mama? He said, what kind of mama? I said, a hoochie mama. What kind of mama? Tell the true story, Pastor. Tell the story. It will help someone see hope for their life. I was, you know, what I called back then a hoochie mama. You know, they called us hoochie mamas, you know, back then. I don't know, but that's basically what I was, you know, just, you know, a little, pretty little thing, you know, pretty little thing, and just used everything that I could, everything that I had to get the attention from the men, Pastor. You know when you met me in the bar that night, I came into that bar and I had that short skirt on. It wasn't that tight, but it was short. I had on my pumps. I had on a black top with the white bustier, and it was off the shoulders. And it got your attention. You know, it got your attention. Hallelujah. And you were newly saved, honey. You were newly saved. And people might say, well, what was he doing in the bar? But you were newly saved. So, you know, I just thank God that you came into the bar that night. And I was dating a Nigerian when we met. You know, I was dating one of Ken's friends, one of his rich friends. And I'm going to tell this testimony. I was dating one of his rich friends who was going to marry me, take me to Nigeria, I was going to be wife number one, and he was going to have me help him pick wife number two and three. And I said, well, how could you have more than one wife? He said, a man can have as many wives as he can afford in Africa. And right now he's owns a bank. This same man owns a bank in Nigeria. But let me tell you something. You know, I'd rather have Jesus. The silver and gold. I am so happy that I did not marry that man. I say it publicly. I am so happy that I married my husband. I would rather have Pastor Anthony than all the money in the world. I don't care how much money any of these men have. I believe I have the best husband in the whole wide world. And I would rather have my honey. I mean, we're rich. We're rich. We're waiting for that manifestation, but we are rich in love. We're rich in joy. We're rich in peace. We're rich in so many things that so many people are still lacking to have a whole bunch of money. But I thank God for you, honey. I just thank God for you. I know that Ken was helping God. God was using Ken to groom me for you, you know, to get me ready. For a real man. And that's what I want to say to a lot of women out there. Let the Lord mold you. Let him make you. Don't get mad when people start talking to you about your clothes. You know, don't get angry. Just know that God is molding you and grooming you to get you ready for your husband. Go ahead, honey.
No, that's powerful. I mean, you're onto something so powerful because the spirit of offense is just amazing how it's in God's church on today. As pastors, we got to bring a word of correction sometimes. And sometimes that correction has to do with the attire. But as you said, if someone really has your best interest at heart and they do say something, you know, young lady, you know, carry yourself, you don't have to carry yourself a certain way, it's amazing. There's no condemnation unto those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And if you would have took that the wrong way, even after you got saved, you know, as a baby Christian, after you got saved, God was still sending angels on assignment to speak into our lives. So what we're saying to our audience today and what we're saying to one another, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Again, he's working on all of us, not just the way we dress. Sometimes it's our mouth. Sometimes it's our language. Sometimes it's that faulty attitude. Sometimes it's that stinking thinking and that thinking that is not godly. We got to allow God in the season manifestation to really regenerate us and to transform us by the renewing of our mind. So if you have something going on in your life right now, don't allow the enemy to condemn you. Don't allow people to judge you. Don't allow yourself to feel like a failure because God is always at work. And that's what you're simply saying today. Along those earlier years when people spoke into our lives, when they saw things that sometimes we did not see about ourselves, God was always at work. God was always at work. Through the preach word that we sat up under, God was always at work. So I just want to encourage you today, even if you're in a hard marriage, you're in a hard place, you're thinking being single right now at this stage in your life is just such a hard thing to do. God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you need when you need it, and God knows all about everything that's concerning you on today. So I'm just encouraged that God knows all about whatever we need from him, and he'll never put on us more than what we can bear, but he'll make that way of escape for all of us. Mm. I'm glad you can get on these airways and share your story because he's still working on us, even as pastors.
Hey.
We see, you know, people on this large platform, even the pastors sometimes need help. Even the leaders sometimes need help. Even those of us who are leading need to be led. So we all need one another. We are the body of Christ. And
yeah,
that's when a spirit of humility is much needed in our world of today. If our people who are called by my name will humble themselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because this gospel has totally transformed my life. And I'd rather get on here and talk about what God has done and how powerfully he has moved in my life than to still be struggling with stuff and be in denial. You know, like you said, God's still working on us all, but I thank God that he takes us from glory to glory to glory to glory. I just thank God for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his transformation power. Pastor Emily, we have a caller, area code 973. Sister Tina Lane. Sister Tina Lane, you're on the air. God bless you.
Hi. How are you? God bless you.
God bless you. Welcome to the Women to Women Show. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Hold on one second. I wasn't ready for this at the moment, so can you give me a few minutes?
Yes, I sure can. I'll come back to you in about 5 minutes, okay?
Okay.
You had your hand up, right?
No.
Yeah, your hand was up.
Oh, I didn't realize it. I'm sorry.
No, okay, but I just took this opportunity to say Merry Christmas. You don't have to come back on the air. It looks like my switchboard is going crazy. Okay, God bless you. Merry Christmas. I'll put you back on mute, okay?
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know why my switchboard is putting people's hands up and they're not raising their hands. That's two people today. But Pastor Anthony, you know, God is just so good because as I think about the 10 years that I worked at Merrill Lynch, I was not saved. And from 1984, I mean, the years that I was not saved, I worked
I worked 10 years before I got saved, from 1984 to 1994. And then from 1994 until 2000, I worked those years. That's another 6 years that I worked at Merrill Lynch. And during those 6 years of being saved at Merrill Lynch, God totally transformed my life. It's amazing. You know, like Ken, during those 6 years after I received Christ into my life, Ken was able to see me begin to change the way that I dressed. He began to see me change the way that I interacted with the men in the office or the men that came in, the clientele that came in. He began to see the way that I changed the way that I walked, that I changed the way that I talked. And I'm saying I changed because I need to make that correction. I didn't change anything. God changed me. God changed me. I mean, against my will sometimes, God changed me. He purged me of some of the things that were not bringing him glory. I did not consciously say, I'm going to change this, 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 and that. I'm going to stop drinking. I never said I was going to stop drinking, stop partying. It's just something supernatural that happened. And I'm like, wow. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus because he molded me. He shaped me. He made me the person that I am today. And I just thank God because I don't miss any of that. I don't miss any of the stuff that was pruned out of my life, any of the stuff that was purged from me. I miss none of it. And, you know, another person that I saw that night, I saw Bob. Now, Bob is the broker that I was working for when I got saved. I've been working for him for about 5 years, and we were million-dollar producers. Bob promoted someone over me when I got pregnant with Kayla and went on maternity leave. And when I came back, my intern, I was working for my intern. He had been promoted. My intern had been given my promotion that I was working so hard for. And I just lost it. Even as a Christian, I wasn't ready to handle the fact that somebody else had gotten my job. I thought I was spiritual, but I was not mature enough to handle it. So I quit. I quit Merrill. I left there, and I was so ticked off when I left Merrill Lynch. But Bob got cancer, honey. As you know, Bob got cancer about, what, 5 years ago?
Yes.
About 5 years ago, I got a call from Bob's friend that Bob had cancer, and that he asked me to pray for Bob. And I prayed for Bob. Me and you both, we prayed for Bob. And Bob walked into that reception on that night. Bob was there. He's been healed of cancer. And, you know, the great thing about the greatest part of that testimony is not that God answered our prayers, because we have to know that God answers the prayers of the righteous. But the greatest part of that testimony is that I had no bitterness and no art in my heart against Bob or Roger, who I also saw that night. I saw Bob and Roger on Thursday. And I wasn't angry with either one of them, even though they had done me wrong. You know, I wasn't upset with them because I know that it was part of my destiny. You know, it was meant for me to leave Merrill Lynch, just like it was meant for Joseph to be thrown in the pit. And somebody needs to hear that. God, we've been saying this the whole broadcast, God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. God knows why people are treating you badly. He knows that they would treat you badly. He knows that you can handle it. God knows that you're going to be better as a result of it. So, you know, it's just powerful. He knows who you're going to be in the end and that he's going to get the glory out of your life. So go ahead and take it like a good soldier. Endure hardness like a good soldier. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, because, you know, when you was at Merrill Lynch, you accumulated, you know, a lot of money. You were one of the highest paid as far as your job description. And you did your job well. They were oftentimes ready to create positions for you in that office, and you were well respected. So financially, you were being blessed. Career-wise, you were being fulfilled. So many things were going on. But again, God saw the big picture. And it's amazing, you know, what would have happened if you would have got the position, if you would have made that kind of money, if you would have had the finer things in life. We probably wouldn't be on these airways, but He know the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us.
Cool.
Plans to hope in the future. So, you know, wherever you are today talking to our listening audience, you got to believe Romans 8:28, that all things are working to glory. I feel God. That all things are working together for the good of those who love God. And, Pastor Becker, we know that most of our listeners love God. And sometimes it don't seem like things are working for our good, and yet they are. It's amazing how, in hindsight, down the road, we can see the lessons that we're going to learn in this 2011 season as we go into the new year, just knowing that God is able. I heard a gentleman today, he talked to me, and he said, you know, I just curse far too much, and in the new year, I want to stop cursing. And as you said, I'm sure some of our listening audience also, have you ever tried to change on your own? I almost chuckled when I made the promises to myself over the years. I'm 48 years old, but I remember saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and tried to literally change myself. And that only lasts for a little season, and then all of a sudden you're right back where you started. So with the help of the Holy Ghost, we can do all things.
Wow, that's why I thank God for Jesus. You know, I'm so excited about Christmas because it just puts me in remembrance of the fact that Jesus was born. You know, because Jesus was born, we are born again to win. You know, victory is ours. You know, that's what we have to hear on today, even giving these testimonies and thinking back over my life. And Pastor Amy, I know you can think back over your life. And as we think back over our lives and look at how far God has brought us, you know, where I needed a drink and I needed a joint, you know, to survive or to be happy or to laugh. Now it's been, I was able to tell Sharon at this reception because they had sangria. And she was like, you know, you could, Sharon said to me, you know, they have drinks too if you want. And I said to Sharon, she said, do you drink? And I said to her, did you ask me, can I drink or do I drink? She said, no. I said, do you drink? And I said, no, Sharon, I haven't had a drink in over 15 years. And she said, what, really? And she's a new Christian. And she said, what, really? And I said, yeah. I said, we gave up. My husband and I both stopped drinking on our honeymoon, you know. And like you said, Pastor Anthony, that was not something we decided to do. It was something that God decided for us, you know, knowing that alcohol had destroyed our parents' marriages, that both my mother and your mother and my father and your father had been subject to the wiles of liquor, the spirits, beer, wine, and spirits, that they had, their marriage didn't survive because of the alcohol. My father was abusive. He was, you know, he was not a good husband. He was not a good father. And, you know, thank God he got saved in the end and he went home to be with the Lord. But those years were tough because of the liquor. And God knew that if we kept drinking, we would not be here today. And this is what I'm saying. He knew the plan that he had for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. He knew the plan that he had for us to preach his gospel, to encourage his people. You know, God knew. He knew. Even though we didn't think much of ourselves, oh, God, I'm getting happy. I didn't think anything of myself. I had no self-esteem, but God thought of us, and he thought about us, and he knew the plan he had for us. Amen. Now, I don't know if this person's hand is raised or not, Pastor Amy, but let's give it a shot. Is your hand raised, area code 754?
Not yet. My hand is raised, but not to talk. I wanted to listen to more of what you guys were.
Amen.
Bring me on a little few minutes, a little later, please.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is good, you know, and God totally transformed our lives. So I guess what God wants to say today, I guess what the Lord is saying today through all of this is that Jesus is the reason. Wow. Jesus truly is the reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just for the season, but he's the reason that we're still yet alive. He's the reason that we haven't lost our minds. He's the reason that we're able to be happy in this, in our marriages. Ah, Jesus is the reason for total transformation in our lives. He is the reason, and it's just so powerful
to be reminded of that during this Christmas season. Wow, Pastor Anthony. Wow.
Amen. You know, you can turn on any radio station and hear wonderful Christmas songs, and just the spirit is so high. I was just out at the local Dunkin' Donuts, and I mean, it's just a merry atmosphere out there. People are in a great mood. I don't know how great a mood they're going to be in after they get the credit card bill, but the malls are packed, and the shopping centers are packed, and the children and adults are like, everybody is merry. But, you know, we as believers, we as Christians, it's kind of a humbling experience because we recognize December 25th represents the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not going to argue was that the actual day, but we recognize in this country we celebrate December 25th as the birth of Jesus Christ, and we got to teach our children, remind the churches on tomorrow the significance of that day, and regardless of the world trying to turn it into a commercial or business opportunity, we as believers are so elated in this season, Pastor Rebecca, because we recognize, hallelujah, that Jesus was born. And because he was born, amen, and became the Savior on the cross, you and I have eternal life. So it's just a real, we can just celebrate. We can look back over the Bible stories and remind ourselves, you know, during the Easter time and the Christmas time, what it's all about. Hallelujah.
Yes. My God. And I have Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room. And, you know, I know she's praising God because she is a praiser, amen. Jesus is the reason, amen. You know, and he's the reason why I shout. He's the reason why I have joy in my heart. And, you know, he's the reason that I didn't stress out over Christmas presents. Come on, somebody. You know, so many people stressing out because they can't buy this or they can't buy that or they don't have a credit card. Some people don't even have a credit card to use during the season. And I say that's a reason to praise God, because that's unnecessary debt that you don't have to pay because you're not going to go out and charge up your credit card balance. So I just thank God for Jesus. I thank God for testimony today. I thank God for the ability to raise my hands and praise him today. I thank God that he came into my life when he did at Merrill Lynch, you know, that he took away the pain that made me act the way that I did, that he took away the shame from the behavior that I exhibited throughout the years, that he was able to let me go into Merrill Lynch after I got saved. I got saved. And that's why people look at me, Pastor Emmy, and sometimes I don't get a lot of friends. People don't understand me because I'm so zealous about Christ. And I will always say that I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do anything but fail. And I believe that God can take away our sins. I believe that Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. I believe that Jesus took away a lot of my sins. You know, I'm not sin-free, but I'm not controlled by sin. Sin is not my master. And I believe that we can go weeks and months and years without sinning. I believe that. Some people say you have to sin every day, but, you know, I'm of the belief, and I'm going to continue to confess it until I meet him face-to-face, that we can get to a point where we're so wrapped up in his glory, amen, that people look on our lives and they don't see nothing but Jesus. But I remember first getting saved and going into Merrill Lynch, and Bob said to me, he gave me a piece of paper. He said, I just got these signs from the client. It was a CD rollover. And back then you had 10 days to roll over the CD. And he said, go ahead and work your magic. Now, the CD was already past the 10-day rollover period, but my magic was the lies that I would tell to the bank when I would call the bank and ask them if they received my paperwork. My magic was the lie that I would tell them when they asked me when I mailed it. I would tell them I mailed it 2 weeks ago. My magic was the lies that I would say the lies that I would commit when they would say, fax us the paperwork, and I would go and backdate the time stamp, come on somebody, and fax it over to the bank just to get the money. And then they would, of course, think that they had mishandled the paperwork, and they would send me the hundreds of thousands of dollars from the CD that I had already rolled over, so they had to cash it out and send me the money. And this is what I'm saying to you. When I looked at Bob and I said, Bob,
I can't do that anymore. He looked at me and he blinked three times and he said, what? I said, Bob, I can't lie anymore because I just got saved this weekend. I'm a Christian now. Bob looked at me. He turned five shades of red because I was his girl. I'm telling you, I took that business. We took that business from a $300,000 producer's book to over $1 million. And he looked at me and he was like, what? And he went into his office, but he had to come back. He came back 2 hours later. He said, Becky, process this paperwork. And I said, Bob, I can't do it. I can't do it. And, you know, I believe that that's one of the reasons I was promoted over, because I wasn't willing to do the lies anymore. But it wasn't me. I mean, you know, I was making almost $100,000 a year. I had over $100,000 in the bank. I had stocks. I had bonds. I was living the high life. So it wasn't me that would just throw all of that away. I know it was God. I know that it was God. Now, I had two choices. I could either go with the program or try to kick against the goals. But I said, you know what, God, this is your program. I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't work the magic anymore. And that's why I say I know God is able. I know he can take away the sin. I know he can take away those cigarettes. Come on. I know he can take away that pornography. I know God can do it. I know he can take away that whoremonger spirit. God can do it. I know he can do it, Pastor Amney. You and I have these deep conversations all the time, but I just believe God. You know, if it hasn't happened yet and you're still struggling, keep believing God. Keep believing God. And don't resist the Spirit. Flow with the Holy Ghost. Let God take it away from you. We have about 40 more minutes. The phone lines are still open. I do have some hands raised, but these are people that didn't really raise their hands. So we're going to check in with Pastor Amaker in about five more minutes. Pastor Anthony.
You know, it's so powerful with what you said, even, you know, God shall provide all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto us. I just want to speak, you know, to the people of God. We got to trust God. He will provide. He will make a way. I understand the double-digit unemployment. I understand the recession and the economic times in which we're living in. But as a believer, if you've hit hard times financially, if you're in that financial famine, trust God. Put your trust back in God. The word says, why gain this whole world and lose our souls? So we really got to, you know, sometimes we can't drive the nicer car that sometimes we want to drive or live in, you know, the condo or the co-op that we would like to live in. And as you said, Pastor Rebecca, when we bought our house, you practically furnished the whole house on your own. I was in my job for about 10 years, but I wasn't making the kind of money you were making. But it was just amazing how we pooled our money together and we put our heads together. And because you worked in the financial industry, you understood money and how money worked, having the discipline to put that credit card away. So it is amazing how we're not to incur more debt trying to keep up with the Joneses. And as you said, during this season, the pressure is on even us parents to provide for our children, you know, get them the cell phone or get them the laptop. But don't put yourself behind the eight ball, so to speak, and find yourself depressed in the month of January, where we really got to teach our children, you know, it's all about Jesus in this season.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And God bless you to Pastor Larry, Pastor Larry Sarton with us, Pastor Amica with us, amen, Minister Valerie Allen, so many people that have tuned in. And Pastor Emily, you are just so right. Jesus, that's what we keep coming back to. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason for the season. When you look back over your life and you think things over, you can truly say that you've been blessed. And I know you got a testimony, amen. Pastor Amica is holding. I'm going to put him on the air. And I just want to say to you, Pastor Emily, I thank God for you, because in those earlier years, yeah, I had the money, but it was only God. You see what I'm saying? God was preparing me for you and for
this ministry and for our children, amen, that we would come together as a family. You had the two boys and I had a daughter. When we got together, we had Kayla, that we would come together as a family to bring him glory. We were, you took me to church. You took me from the bar stool to the church pew. Amen. You took me to church. I got saved 3 months later, got baptized a month later, gave my life totally to Jesus. You gave your life totally to Jesus. And you came back, I mean, from a men's retreat. I remember you came back from a men's retreat, and you were totally changed. And I was like, where's the man I fell in love with? What is he talking about? What mean is this? Because you came back talking some junk. And I was like, well, I thought it was junk at the time, but it was something real to you that you had experienced, and you were putting down sin. When you came and you told me, I'm putting down some stuff. And I was like, you're crazy. But God got the glory because we knew that we had to straighten up and fly right. If we wanted to please God, that the thing we had to do was get married. And we didn't get married for sex. We got married for love because we knew we wanted to be together. We got married, and the rest is to his glory. God is getting the glory. And what we're saying is God knew back then, in the beginning, when I was 10 and molested, and when you were 10 and angry with your father, and when we were 18 and out there partying, and when we were in our 20s hanging out, God knew that we would be here today giving him the glory. Jesus truly is the reason for the season. I did not put that money away out of my own wisdom. God had me. Even before I knew him, he knew me. And he had me put that money away. So to God be the glory for the great things he's done. We have a couple callers on the air. Pastor Amica, God bless you, sir. Are you ready?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. We're riding in the car, and I had the windows open. I'm happy to say it's 81 degrees down here today.
Woo.
So we're just thanking God for that. But Pastor Anthony so eloquently ushered me into what I wanted to say, my point, and as I received the text, he was talking about to share the issues that are going on, and as Pastor Anthony said about finances and what have you, and mature faith. Yes, yes, I'm 1,000% in agreement that God, you can live a sinless life. I'm in agreement with that, Pastor Rebecca. You can, the saints can, and it's a deception. It's a deception by the devil to say, oh, nobody can live sinless, or nobody can live praising God every day and living for the Lord every day. But yes, I'm in agreement with that. I'm sorry. But my point is, what I want to share is that what is your demeanor as the saints of God, and we say that we're waiting on God. Some of us are waiting for different things. God has made promises to us, and he said that he's going to do certain things for us in our life. And my question is, what is your demeanor? Why are you waiting on God? Are you waiting and grumbling and complaining, or are you waiting and praising God? I'm taking this from, yes, sir. I'm taking this from Acts Acts the 14th chapter, around the 25th verse. The Bible says that while Paul and Silas was locked in jail, they began to praise God in the midnight hour. And my question to us is, what are you doing in your midnight hour? you know, while we're waiting for the Lord to do some things for us. Because God is getting ready to, he's getting ready to release, but now he's watching what we're doing, watching your demeanor, watching, are you praising me? Because watch this. Somebody would say, well, I didn't, you know, why is God doing this to me? And you think, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. Paul and Silas, Peter, they didn't do nothing wrong when they were locked in jail. They did something right. And so my point is, we're going through what we're going through because God is trying to get us to a place. You might be doing everything. Yes, I live holy. I'm cross my T's. I dot my I's. And I go back and make sure that I'm doing everything to please God. And yet, you have to go through some things. Count it joy when God chooses. Watch this. He chose Job. The devil didn't choose Job. God chose Job. Have you considered my servant and my question right now? Because we're coming into another dimension, Pastor Anthony. We're coming into a new place, and God is about to take the saints. He's going to make us the head and not the tail. He's going to put us, but while we're in the process of God making us, what are you doing?
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. Are we praising God? Pastor Anthony?
Yeah, I totally stand in agreement with Pastor Amica. I just sense and see in my spirit, discerning like the sons of Issachar, God is transitioning us. God is getting us ready to a place that we've never known before as the church.
There you go. That's it.
A lot of believers are responding the wrong way to the trials which is facing. You know, it is amazing, even as a pastor, we're teaching it, we're preaching it, we're praying for it, and sometimes the response of the people, the response of many at large, are not responding the way God would have us to respond. The world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. When I was a little boy growing up, there was a little community church in our neighborhood called the New Community Baptist Church. And Pastor Amica, Pastor Rebecca, it looked like people went to those churches for decades, not dealing with the kind of warfare that we are facing in this hour. I didn't go to church, but I saw the church hats. I saw the Bibles. I saw them walk to and fro. I mean, for years. But now it's such a challenge. And there's a warfare that we've never faced before because there's a breakthrough, glory be to God. There's a manifestation, there's a breakthrough that we've never encountered before. So must react and respond in the way that God would have us to. We have Hebrews 11, we have Matthew 24, we have 2 Timothy 3 to tell us about this hour. And we got to respond the right way so that we can get empowered by God and become the remnant that will turn this world upside down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Before God takes us out of here, the body of Christ got to be a mighty, mighty people.
Wow.
We're gonna have to leave a legacy on this earth. That those that are left here can live to strive to attain, because this is what God is calling for. He's calling for us. Look, okay, and you always quote it. He's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle, without a blemish. Well, how many spots and wrinkles and blemishes is in the church today? And God is cleaning house. So that the people of God, that he, Malachi, the third chapter towards the end of that, he says, when I make up my jewels, you're not just making up, okay, let me take you here for a quick second. The bigger and the more brilliant the diamond, the more pressure and heartache that diamond went through.
Wow.
So when God says he's making up his jewels, I read a lot of luxury magazines, and they have 10 carat and 5 carat and 20 carat diamonds. They got one diamond. It is the brilliance of it. The diamond is worth over $10.5 million alone, just a diamond. And but that diamond, in order for it to get where it's at, it went through extreme pressure. Now, God is not giving away stuff. He is giving it to other people. He said, if you faint not, grow not weary in well-doing. But if you faint not in due season, and like Pastor Anthony said, we're coming, the body of Christ is coming to its due season. But God is not just giving it to people who have not went through the process.
Yeah,
I don't want to make a... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
God is not just giving us millions of dollars for us to go back and see in it. When he released this money to you, you are so sold out to him, you will not dare use that money that God gave you to advocate sin or to do sin. You ain't going to the car, to the club, and talking about making it rain. You ain't going to the club, drinks on me. You ain't doing that because you're taking that money. But you know why I'm saying that? Because a lot of people, if God was to release what he would release to you, that money, and Pastor Anthony said, what would it profit you if God give you all the money in the world and then you die and lose your soul?
Yeah.
So we went through the process. These are the people that have come through hard tribulations, and we're through, but we're grounded. We settled. We're grounded. We're standing firm in God. And the world is going to look at us and say, those are the saints of God. Look at that. Look at her. Woo, she's a woman of God. How do you know? Look at her. Look at her. She looked like God. He looked like the presence of God. You're wearing the presence of the very, he said, I want my people to wear my glory. What does that mean? He wants us to wear his very presence of God, his very presence. But that takes a sanctified, holy life. Not foolishness. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and Pastor Emeka, that's powerful right there. God said he wants his people to wear his glory so that when we walk into a place, people will see the presence of God.
That's
I had an experience last week with a woman who came to a toy giveaway, and she couldn't get what she wanted because she didn't have the paperwork. And she began to go off on the people. And as she was going off, you could smell the liquor. And she began to shout, I'm an evangelist.
Uh-oh.
God's going to take care of my needs anyway, but this one. And she began to be offensive and everything right there in the place. And I said, you know, we all fall short. I said, but that God is not getting the glory out of us making public spectacles of the kingdom. You know, I said it would have been better if she told no one that she was an evangelist.
Rather than for her.
I mean, if you drunk and you're an evangelist, that's one thing. But to be drunk and to be an evangelist and to be in public, making a humiliation of yourself, and then you're going to make a spectacle of the cross by declaring, I'm an evangelist. You're reeking with liquor. You know, you're not. There's no glory on you. There's no evident glory. And these people that you're talking to are not saved. So, and the Bible tells us that when we have to get to a point that when we speak, not only will we save ourselves, but we will save those who hear us. So,
Pastor Rebecca, no one will remember that woman's name. No one will remember her name, but they'll remember, like you said, that she's supposed to be a. See, they go to see. I told you, look at them Christians. See, look at the Christians. See, I told you it wasn't nothing to that. They don't know her name, but they remember God, and they said, "Now they will equate. This is the way God is. This is what." And what more I mean, we've all been in situations where the Lord said, hold your peace, I'll fight your battle. And you stood there, and before you could turn around, people have changed their mind, and here, I mean, you know what, come on over here. Come here, let me do this for you. Come
yes.
on. And she was a bad, like you said, a bad, bad. But it's not her that she, it's not her that was misrepresented. It was the kingdom of God, which is greater than her. That's what I said in the beginning. Nobody will know her name. But we all know the kingdom of God. We all know
yes.
God. And you're making a you're bad representation of God. I wish I knew where she was. I tar and feather her and ride on her town. Because
no.
You're making a bad. I'm saying from to a point that you're making a bad example of who we are.
I know.
Bad for the rest of us.
But you
I'm
know,
just kidding
and
when I say that, by the way, I'm just kidding.
I know because. You know, I tried to talk to her, thinking that if I told her I too was a Christian, that it would help her to be convicted, but she wasn't hearing it. But I did pray, you know, and that's what we have to do. We gently try to restore them, you know, the fallen brother or sister. And then when that doesn't work, we just have to leave them alone and we have to pray because the devil is having his way. You know, when you think that you got to turn back to the bottle or you got to turn back to the drug or you got to turn back, then, you know, that's a problem. We had a caller holding with your hand up. I'm so sorry. If you call right back in, I'll put you on the air. I didn't see your phone number. That's the first time I lost a call. I was just getting ready to put you on the air. Area code 111, you were holding for about 10 minutes. If you call back, we'll put you on the air. Amen. So, yeah, we have to pray. You know, we just have to pray for those who are still weak to bear the infirmity of the weaker brother. But what we're saying to those of you who are listening is, come on, you know, we got to put what we already learned into practice in our lives. You know, take God more seriously. Know that Jesus truly is the reason for the season. And know that God's power, I mean, God, that's what you're saying, Pastor Amica. You know, some of us know to do better, and we have the power, but we just choose not to do better. And that. No, why did she get up? It was 1:30 in the afternoon. This is what we have to think about. Why did she get up at that and start drinking so early? What has gone wrong in her life that would make her, you know, be so devastated, so low, that she would pick up a bottle and drink like that so early?
That early, that's it. That early in the day and then go out and say, I'm going to represent God.
Yeah, yeah. So what was going on, you know? And that's the thing that we have to be considerate of. I mean, but you think by the time she got to the point of being fivefold, an evangelist, that this stuff would have been behind her, you know, especially to that extent.
You just said something. My question is, who ordained her? And that's another problem. The church is putting out people that is not ready.
Wow.
You're not ready.
Wow.
You come, you pay the dues, you take two classes, bam, here you are. We're gonna make you a doctor, we're gonna make you an apostle, we're gonna make you a pastor, we're gonna make you over this, and then they're not ready. They're not ready, and that's, you know, my question is, who is her pastor? What kind of pastor does she have that would allow her not to be? You know, your parents, come on, you know your child is not ready for their driver's license, so why would you give them the keys to your car? Some kids are 25 years old, but they're not responsible enough to drive a car. So why are you giving them the keys? And there are some people that are in the church, and you know, if you're going to be an evangelist or whatever the position is, I would love for you to be there. I'm careful now, more so because I see this done so much. I'm careful. The Lord might reveal the calling on that person's life to me, but I'll never say nothing to them until I see and I and the God has confirmed that now they're ready to be even thought about or for me to even say as a pastor, God got a calling on your life for ministry. God got a calling on, and that's what's going on. Everybody just making, we're just making people whatever we want them to be because you want to walk in with your entourage.
Okay. Well, I have yet to get an entourage.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know that's why people giving people titles.
I'm laughing at that because you know what? It's like you're right. So many people do want the title and the grandeur that they think goes with the title, but being a minister of the gospel, you're gonna go through. But what's that scripture you read the other week, honey? About Paul said we've been made a spectacle of.
Mm.
Amen. That was 1 Corinthians. He said, as apostles, it's like we're at the back of the processional. We are made fools for Christ. And mm-hmm. what Paul was saying was that there's such a sacrifice that comes with saying yes to a minister of the gospel. When you're a minister of the gospel, that's why so many people are related to being poor in poverty. That's not necessarily the truth. As Pastor Amica pointed out, if you can handle money and stay humble, God will give you money. But if money is going to destroy your integrity, he might withhold that money from you because you might not be ready from it, and it might destroy your anointing. But this woman, you know, this woman wanted toys for about 14, 15 kids. She probably was going to do a good deed.
Yeah.
But, again, what Pastor Amica was saying, to retain people, and we understand it's a challenge to be a pastor in this hour, but to retain people, we cannot ordain them, give them a title so they can stay put, because we're going to have to answer to God.
There you go.
Yeah, the Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. And, you know, not to, again, make this one, I see the conversation in the chat room. I thank God for Kathy Jones and also for Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room. I thank God for I Love Jesus in the chat room. Amen. And they're definitely talking about the fact that we have to be deal with our issues. Kathy Simmons Jones mentioned that we're anointed, but we're still dealing with our issues. So many of us are still dealing with our issues, and we're anointed. And that's the thing that's really I'm grappling with God about during this season. I'm really grappling with the Lord. I'm battling, just really trying to get a fuller understanding of you know, how we got so far out here. You know, I guess me, I'm you know, and it's not probably just me. I'm not a lot of people, a lot not like me, but I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying? I'm working this thing out. You know, I'm working it out because I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And you know, and I have, in my flesh, I have the propensity to err, to mess up big time.
Right.
But I know in the spirit realm, I have the power to prevail. You know, so I have to work this thing out daily. And I believe that that's why the Bible has been put in those 66 books, that the Bible has been given to us, you know, as our covenant with God. That as we read those books, we are reminded that this is a fight. Paul exhorted Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. We got to fight this thing. We got to fight the flesh. We have to fight this fight. And I think a big problem with sin in the church, and I don't know how we got here, but I think a big part of the problem is that we're not fighting. We're not fighting our own selves. You got to fight, and I said it earlier, it's not the mirror, it's not the image in the mirror that you got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the man in the mirror. It's the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look in that mirror and even the mirror of the word, see yourself and begin to deal with yourself and ask God to help you. Help me, Lord. And this woman that we're talking about that came in there drunk, she got some pain. She has some pain. This woman is hurting. You know, she's hurting.
But see, that's what you're saying, and that's what we're saying, is that the church is the only entity in the world that gives premature birth and allows premature birth. You go to school, I don't care how much money your family got, I don't care what, unless you pass the course, you go to college, you're not getting that degree until you pass this course. I don't care who you are. And in the world, they will not put you forth until they know that you're ready. You will not become a doctor until they know that you are ready to practice. And the church, all you got to do is pay the dues, hop and skip, and have a unknown tongue in your mouth, and she's ready, he's ready, and we're not worrying about the issues that the person is dealing with. Hurt people, and you said this some time ago, Pastor Rebecca, hurt people were hurt people. So undelivered people will give birth to more undelivered people. And this is the bad thing in the church. We're so fast to make members, but we're not discipling people and taking the time to disciple and make sure that, all right, he's ready. He's ready. As a series of tests and examinations and what have you. The church feels that we don't have that kind of time. We gotta give, like you said earlier, we gotta give this one a title so they'll stay here. Man, if you come here for a title, then your purpose for coming here is wrong all the way. Because we're not here to hand out titles. If I'm giving out titles to everybody, God is going to hold us responsible. You know they wasn't ready. You know, and look what they did. They made a shipwreck of me because of what you did.
Yeah. That's it. I tell you, that's it. The world is not going to give you a doctorate degree until you pass those tests, until you meet all of the criteria, until you do the internship. But in the church, we're laying hands suddenly because we want to keep those members, you know, that we know. And, you know, and I think leadership has a lot. I believe leadership are prophets, of traveling prophets that will come to your church and they'll look at a member and they will prophesy to that member. Or they might not even come to your church. Your member might go to a conference and the prophet will prophesy that that member is an apostle. And that baby, that person's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now that baby Christian says, I'm an apostle, and they're going to go out and get all these. They're an apostle now. Don't have a church.
And you don't even know
what
an apostle is.
Don't know, right, and that's what's going on. We have another caller, amen. Let's put this caller on the air. Hand up. Sister Tina, you're on the air. God bless you. Welcome to the Women to Women show.
God bless you, Pastor. I don't know what happened the first time you asked me, but then later on I was pressing one, and I said, I think she thinks her switchboard is still acting up, but I actually want to come on the air now. So God bless Minister Valerie Allen. I actually called her at home. And say, can you please type in the chat room?
Amen.
Because I'm not home, man. I'm out with my mom. She's doing something. Today's her birthday, praise God. She turned 71. So
happy birthday.
Oh, thank
wow.
you. I'm
happy
let her
birthday.
Know. Yeah. So it's a blessing to still have her in our lives. But I wanted to say I'm enjoying the show, and when you said earlier when you put me on the line, I do want to say Merry Christmas. I have enjoyed this show for the entire year, 2011. It's been a pleasure to call in, listen to all your guests, all your listeners, the comments. The marriage moments, I'm not married, but I am learning a lot of stuff from it. So I praise God for Pastor Anthony coming in and giving the message on the marriage moments. I just praise God for this show. I wish you many more years. You are definitely a blessing in my life. You are definitely one of the mentors in my life that I love so much. And I want you to have a happy holiday and safe travel to see you, your family.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Tina. We have Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room. She says, bless you, Sister Tina. She says, happy birthday, Sister Tina's mom. And we all say happy birthday to your mom today. Pastor Amica say happy birthday to your mom. And you guys enjoy the day. Thank you so much for calling in and giving your shout-out out for Christmas. We were going to do a shout-out show. Nobody wanted to be on the air, so we handled another topic today. pretty much giving God the praise. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season, and we just thank God for Jesus today.
Amen. That's why Jesus is the reason for the season. And I'm looking forward to, you know, this. I'm looking forward to celebrating tomorrow with my family and not just with guests, because we understand that that's not the reason for it, just understanding the birth of Christ and celebrating that. So, again, I'm just thankful for another year. Thankful for another
Amen.
Year. And wait.
Amen.
And the pastor who was preaching earlier, then Pastor Larry, he was giving a message.
Pastor Amica.
Oh, Amica, I'm sorry, Pastor Amica. Yeah, that was a message he was teaching.
Amen. Amen. And that's it. You know, we have to realize that God is just, he's sovereign. He's sovereign. And his providential power is enough. You know, God is enough. So I thank God for you, Sister Tina. Thank you so much for calling in. Pastor Anthony, are you still there?
Amen. I just want to wish everyone also a Merry Christmas. I think I heard Pastor Amica correctly, honey, that is 81 in Florida. Pastor
yeah.
Amica, we're headed down to your neck of the woods.
Come on, brother. Sun is shining. And
we're going to enjoy some of that. It's nice here in New Jersey, but we're going to enjoy some of that sunny sunshine in Florida.
Yeah, 80 degrees for Christmas. I'm enjoying it. I love it.
Amen.
I'm all the way down south in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
in
South Florida.
We're going to Sanford.
Okay, that's 3 hours northwest, right above Orlando.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When are you going there?
We're leaving Christmas Day tomorrow.
Okay. It's warm. You'll enjoy it.
We're looking forward to it. My mom just bought a beautiful home down there, and we're looking forward to going now. She's been gone from New Jersey for a year. So you know, we're going to spend Christmas with mom. And not Christmas, because we'll get there after Christmas, but we'll spend a few days with her and then we'll head back. We're just going to take a road trip. We won't be there that long.
I need to
get to Florida.
As all over, there is a strong need. And let me encourage you, Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca. I've been to their ministry, and those of you that are listening, they're doing a phenomenal job. But I want to encourage you by saying that the body needs you guys. We need what's in you. The people in the world need what God has put in you guys to minister to the world. Somebody has to be the one that tells the people the difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, what God's will is. And that's why I think so highly of you guys, and I appreciate your ministry so strong, because, like I said, you know, you in your own swagger, you have the heart of God and the will of God as your motive. But you know, you have your, what I'm saying, you have your own style of doing things, which is good.
I like that.
But don't, you know, what I'm saying is, don't let your style override your word. Don't let your swagger override what God has put in your mouth, and you guys have not done that. You have not done that. You're true to the word of God. And I just want to, 2012 is going to be a phenomenal not only a year, but dimension for the body of Christ and for the people of God. God is getting ready to bring us forward to the forefront. And we have to have everything already ready. We have to have our lifestyle already in order. We have to have our holiness already in order. No, that's what we know. God, yes, he gave me millions of dollars, but we're not gonna use it for the devil. God is getting ready to release things to us, but they cannot be used for the devil. It must be used for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. So be encouraged. I love you guys. Have a wonderful trip. Merry Jesus is the reason for the season. That's all it is. It's about,
yeah,
God, about Jesus. It's not about nothing else to me but Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed. God bless.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Amica. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow, he came with a powerful word on today, and we only have 3 minutes left in the broadcast. I appreciate everything that he said about us. And in the chat room, Pastor Anthony, just so you'll know, Minister Valerie Allen and also Kathy Jones are in total agreement with what Pastor Amica said, and Kathy Simmons-Jones said, Merry Christmas, Pastors. Anthony and Rebecca, love you much. So God bless you, Pastor Anthony. I just wanted you to know what was going on in the chat room. God bless you, Kathy and Ray. God bless you, Minister Valerie Allen and Sister Tina Lane. God bless you, Pastor Amica, and everybody else that is listening. Love Jesus and everybody else that is listening. God bless you tonight.
God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. To God be the glory for the great things he is doing. We want to invite you to our service on tomorrow, Christmas Day, at 11
Amen.
O'clock a.m. And also New Year's Eve, we'll be having our watch night service at 10 o'clock p.m. The doors open at 9:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve. And then we will be back in church on New Year's Day. Amen. Just having the first day of the new year in church. I thank God we get to be in church a whole lot. So we're excited about everything that God is doing. We're excited about this upcoming new year. We're at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Minister Valerie Allen says, God bless you. Joyful holidays to everyone. God bless you. And, you know, people, we have to realize that we are going into the holidays. We have Christmas, and then we have New Year's Eve watch night service. So, you know, we know that Jesus truly is the reason for the season, and I thank God for each and every one of you. We're going to stop streaming in a minute, but I just want you all to know, Pastor Anthony, I want you to know we love you. Pastor, just one more minute we have. The chat room still can hear you. Okay, Pastor Anthony is gone. Well, I say Happy New Year. I say Merry Christmas from Pastor Anthony, and he sends his love as well. So he said it earlier. God bless you. Listen, we're over 12,000 listeners and going strong. Amen. So we know God is really doing his thing here on the Woman Show, and I am inspired. So tell somebody about what's going on. Pastor Anthony, Pastor Amica, God bless you, sir. God
bless you.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. And I thank God for every time you take time out of your busy schedule to call, because you bring holiness. You know, you put us up to the test. You hold us up to the standard of the Holy Ghost, to God's standard, and you bring holiness to the forefront. And we thank God for you, sir. You keep on doing what you're doing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have Christmas at our house tonight. We're opening our gifts in a couple of hours, so we're going to go down from this place. So Merry Christmas to everybody. We love you. God bless you. And as we came on the air, God bless you, Tina. I love you. God bless you. And everybody know we love you, and we're going off the air the same way we came on with Jesus. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Church boy.
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope
hey.
I bring you glory on this
hey.
One, Father.
Hey. Hey.
Help me now.
Superstar. Never drove around in a fancy car.
Uh-uh.
Keep looking at me funny. Mama, she had no money, but she always told me, baby, know who you are. I can't.
know you always win. Hey, when I had nothing, had to struggle and was up to no good. The reason I'm still breathing is because
Jesus, I got him.
Jesus, crazy how you love me even when I don't love you like I should.
You need.
I like this part right here. Yeah. When I think about your name, I go. Yeah. How you took away my pain, I go. Every night at the club, ain't no wife at the club. Now Jesus, he be showing me love.
Ain't that wrong, gon' make it, Kurt. I know how that sounds.
Sure, it's only by his grace I can't be looking him down.
Hey. If you love this joint right here, I want you to call your radio station in the morning, and I want you to tell them.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? Tell them what they need, Kurt. They need who?
Jesus.